Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
Becoming a parent is one of the greatest feelings, but for many, childbirth can be complicated, risky, and stressful. Premature births can send mothers and children to the NICU for days, leaving dads to watch from the sidelines while their loved ones receive treatment. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Research shows that fathers in the NICU can suffer from severe anxiety, depression, and PTSD. This is what led a Northwestern doctor to start the NICU Dads Group, creating a space for fathers to share their experiences and find support. And 6 years later, the NICU Dads Group has promoted a sense of community among families going through similar situations. This story was put on our radar by WBEZ reporter Araceli Gomez Aldana. She discovered the work the NICU group was doing and brought their story to light. You can read and listen to Araceli's story on the WBEZ website. To learn more, we were joined by Dr. Cameron Boyd, who co-facilitates the NICU Dads Group, and Brandon O'Connor, a current NICU dad. Brandon's twin children have been in the NICU for 43 days now, so I started by asking how he's doing.
That's a complicated question to answer, but I'm good. I think I have my ups and downs. It's I'm appreciative of the dads group and all the support that we've been getting in the NICU and at Northwestern. And it's different because I have to balance, being at work and then kind of supporting my wife, supporting visiting the kids at night, taking care of whatever I have to do at home, our cats, et cetera. So
The routine's a little bit different now, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
So how premature were they? How far into her pregnancy?
They were born at 31 weeks, so nine weeks early.
Yeah. 9 weeks early. And so how is your wife and the twin boys? How are they?
Yeah, they're doing better and improving every week. And, my wife Haley is doing great. And
nice.
I think we're just appreciative that these kids are in good health and making slow but important progress.
Absolutely. Any sense so far as to how much longer?
No.
Yeah. It's kind of a day-by-day process, isn't
yeah,
it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the NICU Dads Group, which is what we're here to discuss, I mean, this is a support group that's meeting once a month, and you've got veteran dads often joining the conversation with you folks. Tell us how you found out about them.
Yeah, they do a really good job of advertising and kind of seeking us out when they see some dads kind of lingering and looking a little lost, I think, in the NICU and kind of trying to get them to come in. And it was, well attended. And I think that it was just like the right time, I think, for me to have a space to kind of think about how I'm doing instead of, all the other things that I'm adjusting to.
Yeah. Take us inside the group. What does that mean when you say you've got a space to express your emotions? What does that look like?
Dr. Garfield kind of just, he was our co-facilitator. We'll just kind of start the conversation with some general questions like, how are your kids doing? How early were they? And how are you doing? And kind of like, what questions do you have about the medical process that is going through? Because there's so much information kind of being given to us. It was interesting to hear how the other members of the group who attended had very similar stories to us, about prematurity, about some of the stuff that we were learning about our kids having to deal with, and kind of how they're either struggling with it or kind of overcame that.
So let's bring you into the conversation. Dr. Cameron Boyd, you co-facilitated this group with Dr. Garfield, as Brandon mentioned. This was 6 years ago. So talk to me about what you were seeing back then among patients and seeking out dads like Brandon.
Yeah, so I've been co-facilitating with Dr. Garfield for the last 3 years. 6 years ago when he had the idea, and I still believe what holds true today, is that we do a great job of taking care of babies in the NICU, taking care of moms naturally in the NICU as well. but not the best job of taking care of dads. And so that's been the reoccurring theme, even 6 years ago up until today. Mm. And really just seeing that firsthand, first as a resident and trainee, but now even in the hospital as well, we can see how sometimes as medical staff and members of the team, you know, mom and baby will be there, but then dads will kind of be off to the side a little bit or a little bit hesitant at first. And so really paying attention to that, and it really kind of resonated with me one day. We were talking with this family, and the dad had said, we've been in the hospital for 2 months now, and everyone asks how the baby's doing. Everyone comes by and asks how the mom's doing every day, but nobody's ever asked, how am I doing?
So you said, you know, we should do a better job in taking care of dads. What does taking care of dads look like in this case to you?
Simply just asking them how they're doing and not acknowledging them. I think that's the very first step. I think sometimes we either forget to say that or, you know, kind of skip over that or gloss over that and just assume that they're doing okay. Mm-hmm. I think society kind of paints this picture that, you know, dads are strong and, you know, don't really feel things when it comes to certain things and certain emotions. But really, it is a traumatic experience being in the NICU for all members involved of the family. And so that's mom, dad, and especially the baby. And so we're doing our best to kind of encourage and help dads tell their story.
Yeah. You know, according to some of the members in your dad's group, the most stressful time can actually come after their wife and children have been discharged. Mm-hmm. Why would that be?
Yeah. And that's what Dr. Garfield's study has also shown as well. And I think the reason for that is, you know, dads up until a certain point have to kind of keep it together or feel that they need to keep it together, especially in those first moments, those first weeks of being in the NICU in order to, like, Mr. Brandon said, in order to support mom and baby. Mm-hmm. But at some point that strength kind of wears off as it naturally would for any person. And you can only hold that position for so long. And I think in moments of stillness and moments of where quiet, oftentimes we hear dads talk about how they just hit a wall and it all just kind of comes out. It can be in the shower. Or mm-hmm. We hear dads talk about on the way home, driving home, and they're in the car by themselves. They can just kind of break down. And so to answer your question, I think when, you know, families go home, as Mr. Brandon was also kind of alluding to, now you have to worry about the job, other children, other family members, and all this kind of just compounds together. So,
yeah,
something for me to look forward to.
I feel like I was coming to you next because I was thinking as Dr. Boyd is listing all of these things, I can just see your face because it's resonating with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of already doing some of that. You just mentioned how You're going about your daily life. You're doing the things you got to do, work, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But you're also factoring in making time to visit, right? Mm-hmm. Making time to visit the babies. You write a blog about this, I understand.
Yeah.
For your friends and family. Tell me more.
It was actually suggested by one of the nurses. I think we were lamenting about how many sort of updates, sort of different groups of people or individual people who, you know, care and want updates and we want to give them updates, but it's kind of exhausting to kind of repeat if there's a bad piece of information that we received that day to kind of text each, you know, group that same bad information, kind of relive like, ugh, this is not good, or good news. But so it was just a nice way to kind of centralize our experience. And it's been kind of, you know, and also a nice way to have a little bit of a creative grasp on this whole experience and, you know, kind of document everything. And, you know, who knows, it'll be kind of a nice time capsule for our kids one day.
Yeah, maybe. I was looking at what a veteran member of this NICU dads group said. They called it an unwanted fraternity. Tell me what comes to mind when you hear that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's a group of people with similar experiences that.
Is it like a brotherhood?
I don't know. You know, it's interesting. I think all of us, the other guys I've met in the group, we're pretty in the group. We're collected together. We're processing things together. We're acknowledging each other. And then the group ends, and it's kind of like, okay, that was it. You know, there's not like this sort of thing that I think we carry outside of the group. And you know, kind of seeing them in the hallway, we kind of just do like a, you know,
little head nod.
Yeah.
You're smiling, Dr. Boyd. Does that sound familiar?
It sounds very familiar. I think each group kind of takes on a life of its own as well. We have had in the past dads who have formed text message chains and sent pictures of their babies once they're home and things like that. So I think, you know, for Mr. Brandon, you know, some of these conversations kind of end at the dad's group, or even just acknowledging each other in the hall can be a spirit or a moment of upliftment for fathers as well.
Because so, now you know that little something more about
exactly,
that guy
exactly.
that you wouldn't have known before.
Yeah.
And even if we don't acknowledge each other, we know that they're carrying the kind of same stuff that we're carrying. And
yes.
so it can be kind of in silent, but we, you know, there's an understanding, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Many of the dads whose loved ones have recovered, they can become alums. Is that right, Doctor? And they can continue coming back to these monthly meetings?
Yes.
How does that work?
So it actually was a request or an ask for one of the former dads, Mr. Bo Wheeler, and he had asked how he could help out, how he could join and continue to pass this along. And we at first were kind of thinking of ways to kind of incorporate because we thought that it would be a great idea, but just didn't know how to do it. And then it came to a certain point in time where we thought now's a great time to kind of incorporate former dads. And I think that that's probably one of the most powerful parts of the group. I will let Mr. Brandon kind of answer that as well. But for me, just seeing how a former dad can kind of speak life into the dads that are there and
yeah.
also give their perspective and let them know that there's a brighter end to this traumatic journey.
Yeah. How have their perspectives encouraged you, Brandon?
Yeah. I mean, it's nice to hear someone who was in the NICU a year ago and just, you know, to hear someone say, I was in the same situation. We had the same, you know, diagnosis with one of our kids. We had twins that were at the same amount of prematurity that, mm-hmm. that yours are. And now we're out of the NICU and they're thriving and they're great. Right. Like it's just, it feels like normal life. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's absolutely just so nice to hear that, you know, I'm not kind of holding out for this, I don't know, for things to change. It'll just kind of happen naturally. And
yes.
Yeah. It's encouraging.
It'll evolve. Yeah. yeah. And there will be sort of an end to this stage,
yeah.
right? NICU's not forever.
Hopefully. <yeah. laughs>
Right. You're a therapist, I understand, Brandon, in the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs. So I'm curious then, what's it been like for you to sort of be on the other side of things and, you know, be listened to by others like you?
So I'm not currently a therapist. I'm a social worker at the VA, but I've done a lot of, you know, mental health work, both in and outside of the VA. But
okay.
yeah, that is a kind of what I brought into the dad's group is, you know, I kind of came in feeling pretty confident because I've you know, been in a lot of groups. I've done a lot of therapy, you know, but as the client, not so much.
A little different.
And it's a little, turns out it's hard to be vulnerable in front of other people. And so, but it was humbling to kind of know what, you know, someone might be going through when I'm mm-hmm. facilitating, yeah.
Do you see that vulnerability piece being difficult for other men in the group?
Yes.
Doctor?
Even when we approach dads to ask them about the group. I was just doing this over the weekend. And, you know, I walk up to dads or moms and dads and the dads just kind of give me the strange look at first, like, I don't know about this. But as I start to kind
yeah.
of give our reason why, you can literally just see them say, oh, or process like how they're currently experiencing some of those emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes more sense to them as the conversation goes on. So seeing that instance of that, but then also seeing that transformation in the dads group specifically, we've had dads who have came for 4 and 5 times because that's how long their babies have been in the hospital. And seeing that transformation is even
wow.
more remarkable as well.
So do you plan on staying on as an alum, Brandon?
Yeah. I mean, I find a lot of value in it. Absolutely. It would be nice to you know, share my experience with other people and kind of hear what other people are going through as well. So yeah, they'll have me back. Absolutely.
I think they will. Doctor, what's next for the NICU dads group? Are you maybe planning on expanding this? Because so far it's just here at Northwestern, right?
It's just here at Northwestern where Dr. Garfield had originated it and founded it. Together we've kind of grown the program and now have also started a group at Lurie Children's Hospital. So we're actually meeting next week there. But then, yes, the plan would be for all NICUs to have this because
yeah.
it's much needed and it's very, it can be replicated. Like it doesn't take a lot. It just takes a space, not only physically, but a space emotionally to hear and listen to dads going through
right.
These situations of being in the NICU.
Yeah. A little birdie tells me you might be shopping it around in Texas soon.
Oh, yes. So, yeah, I'm about to move to Fort Worth, Texas, where I'll be hopefully starting a dad's group there at Cook Children's Hospital.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. This is fantastic. Dr. Cameron Boyd is a Northwestern NICU fellow and founder, or co-facilitator, rather, of the NICU Dads Group. Brandon O'Connor is a current member of the NICU Dads Group and a VA social worker. And for more on this program, I want you to head to our website, wbez.org, and check out Araceli Gomez Aldana's great reporting. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
This episode of The Reset Podcast was produced by Gina Montagna and Linnea Dominic. It was edited by Meha Ahmed and mixed by Ari Mejia. Reset brings you conversations on today's pressing issues. Make sure to subscribe wherever you listen or find us at wbez.org/reset to stay connected. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again tomorrow.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.